There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Ben Kissel just told me that he would be entirely fine with using recycled condoms again.
I did not say that.
He would be fine with it.
No, I did not say that. We were talking about recycling, and I said it's important to recycle all plastics because at some point they just end up in the ocean. And then you have said, oh, so you want to recycle condoms and you want to wear used condoms? And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to try to save the fish.
We were talking about this story. This is true about we'll get into this, but the idea of taking used condoms and just flushing them out.
Well,
and
this
then
happened
putting them
in
back
Vietnam.
In? What are they like? This is like going Leroy Jenkins.
Well, have
and
fun
then
with
all
it.
Of the condoms just all go right. Back into circulation.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Marcus Parks will be back with us next week. But yes, okay. So Vietnamese, please.
Let me first say, number one, thank you guys for the wonderful well wishes
that
you've sent towards Marcus's family. They are currently out of the woods. I just want you to know
they're
that
on
you
the
really. Appreciates it. He really appreciates it, and
yes.
He is going to be back next week where we resume our normal scheduled programming.
Thank you all so much. You are all super sweet people, and we love you with all of our hearts. 324,000 used condoms have been washed and resold. This was in Vietnam. We're going to get to some listener pasta here in a second. Again, thank you all so much for reaching out and sending us your great stories. But we figured this is really the biggest story of the week. Vietnamese police have confiscated 360 kilograms worth of used condoms, which I don't know much about measurements, but I think it's a lot of condoms.
Think about the smell of this apartment building, because the way they treated them was like, there's a photo here of just a man with, I'm going to say, not enough gear on.
He's wearing gloves and he's got a mask on.
Tiny mask. The tiny mask
that
people grumpily put on to walk into a Home Depot. There should be a step up for him when you are handling just bags and bags and bags of used condoms that have been boiled, dried, and then put up for sale.
You would rather have them like wet and resold?
No, okay. I want them. No,
my
I'm not
problem
I'm
with
saying
this,
all of it is
my
bad.
Problem with this is not the recycling of the condoms. It's that they're using the condoms again as condoms.
That is the problem.
What about a house? What about a hat for a mouse?
This is what you
what
were
about
saying
something
before.
Fun? What about if you? Oh, booty for dogs. Dog booties. You know when you go outside in the wintertime and there's a lot of salt on the street. You see these dog booties. They're just balloons. They're just balloons. I am saying we
you
gotta
just got
stop
done.
Polluting the oceans.
You just got done giving it to Wanda. Right?
Uh-huh. Oh, I love Wanda. You know Wanda and I have been together for a while now.
You just got done and Wanda's like, oh, Ben, I wish I could get a baby.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, no, no, I wouldn't saddle you with that responsibility. And then you go out in the backyard with a little hose. And
yeah, my Roy Orbison? What's going on?
But you just spray it out with a hose and
all right, Puffin, time for your walk. There's a lot of salt on the ground. It's going to snow in Los Angeles because the climate change is simply out of control.
I could go for a little snow every now and again.
Honestly, it is nice to have a change in temperature.
So the problem here is that they were reselling the condoms.
Yeah.
As condoms.
Yes.
And not telling people maybe they were used.
But I would say the telltale sign that they are used is when they are shaped like the head of a dick. Because normally when you first see a condom, it's flat. It doesn't look like a Casper the Ghost action figure.
Well, the government said condoms are classified as medical items. Did not know that, but very interesting.
They should
be. So we will take a look at the several laws that the owner has broken. So even the police are not sure what laws are being broken, but they assume some are just because they've never heard of reduce, reuse, recycle.
This is the recycling is not the problem.
You didn't watch Captain Planet as a kid, huh?
We reference Captain Planet like two times a month.
I actually didn't like that show, but that's just me.
Why didn't you like it?
Because
I like the villains.
Not, it's
in
not
it.
A superhero if you have to have six kids put rings together to summon you.
No, that's cool. That's kind of more of an anime thing. I like it's like Power Rangers, the idea of like
but
a
what
group.
If they, what if one loses the ring and
the
then you
symbolism
die?
Symbolism is that a group together are stronger.
Yeah, I know what the symbolism is, but I thought that was actually propaganda in many ways.
And this is, are you starting, this is how you started as an 8-year-old libertarian?
No.
No one could ever come together.
It was propaganda, but at the same time, I think with the condoms, think about your toe. You stub it, put a little condom on there. You can do so many things. It's just, you. What you have to do is break your brain out of a tube of plastic. A tube of rubber. What you're
audience
thinking
can
is,
see my face right now.
What you're thinking is, oh, it can only be used. It can only be used as a prophylactic. It can only be used.
It can't only be used
to go on my dong. But in reality, what else could you use it with? Maybe you're taking a hot dog to the park.
It used to be
filled hot dog in there
with semen.
Or
that's the question here. That's the problem here. And yeah,
but
and
semen
sometimes
just gets washed out like anything else, Henry.
I am so beside myself. Just from your simple reaction to this story.
It is because the problem is not in the recycling. The problem is in the...
This is what I've been saying.
The problem is in the branding. It's just, you can't resell them as a condom, but I'm saying, cut them up. Make a fun little tie out of it.
I am mortified with you. I'm mortified with you.
Oh, you know what? How do you get a ring off when you've gained a little bit of weight? Maybe you've been happy. Maybe you were
divorced.
No, you don't get divorced. You don't do that. No, maybe you take the condom and you go underneath the ring and then you wind it up and then the ring comes off. You know those tricks. Like how you
yes,
can take
absolutely.
A potato and jam it into the light socket and take the little bulb that broke off.
I love Kissel life hacks so much. It really teaches everybody about how the way you were raised. But apparently the big process here, what a fom teen tong nyok said, I don't know how to pronounce the name. I'm sorry. I don't know how to pronounce the name. She told the authorities that she had received a monthly delivery from an unknown person.
Okay, well, don't do that.
This is, all of it is wrong.
Okay.
And then the main process that she did was the boiling and drying, but then she had to reshape it with a wooden tool.
I saw the wooden tool. It is a bit like a rolling pin, kind of like a dick. It's very large. Yes, that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. It's the manipulation and it's the lie to the consumer that this was not a used condom.
I just
also, if you buy a lemon, you think about the car. It's up to the, you have to tell the person, has this car been in an accident?
Yeah, this is, so but again, they, you're trusting so, the car so salesman.
But if they put used condom for sale, then it's also like, well, consumer aware.
You're talking about no regulation is what you're talking about. You're talking about a non-regulated market. This is a laissez-faire system is what you're talking about. Where the customer decides.
Let the consumer know what they're buying.
You know what? Somehow I've been brought all the way back around to vaguely agreeing with you.
Thank you.
You know what I was also thinking in my mind the other day when someone says, hey, when someone gives you lemons, you should make lemonade.
Sure.
In my mind is, you should sell the lemons. That's free collateral. That's free capital that you just got.
Yeah, of course. Everyone, that great lemon shortage that we're going through now. Also, in order to make lemonade, it's not just about the lemon.
It's sugar and water, and there's a lot of other things involved. You can't just have a pile of lemons and make lemonade, and that's why the whole term makes me upset.
By the way, we did get a big response when it comes to the plums that Henry received from his Uber Eats driver. This woman gave him a bunch of plums. Some DMs were upset with our reaction to the plums, saying, isn't this the world we want to live in, where people give gifts and everyone's really nice?
I love gifts.
I love people.
But I don't like cursed plums.
It's just a strange thing to do, taking strange fruit. Not even strange fruit, but just fruit from a stranger.
It wasn't about the fruit. It was about how the fruit was given to me with a sense of desperation and a sense of hauntedness, like she was a ghost woman.
Yeah, that was the problem.
That was the problem.
It's not her extending a hand of love via the plum. It was just kind of weird.
It was the way it was given to me, as if I was fighting her on the plums to begin with, where I showed up like what I put in the notes in the seamless delivery. Hey, no plums, please.
No plums, please. And she showed up with plums.
And she just showed up with a bunch of plums saying like, that's the reason why I'm trying to deny human connection, because that's what's weird to me.
That is what's weird. So that was the only thing with the plums.
Also, there was an update on the Budweiser house.
What happened?
The Hero of the Week Bud Can Decorated Place is a condo, non-rental apartment in Lake Worth, a suburb to the south of West Palm Beach. That's Eddie Larson's fucking neighborhood. Which is about 65 miles up the Florida coast, we know. The local news dubbed the place the House of Budweiser. The cans used in the decorations were actually 16 years worth of the previous owner's empties.
Woo!
A U.S. Navy veteran end of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Salute. He's dead. He passed away earlier this year, which is why the condo was up for sale. And then the Budweiser came out and said that they would offer free Bud to the new owner as long as they don't redecorate.
Oh my God, we have to buy this house.
I think that you have to, and in the end, you'll make money.
Can you get Bud Light, though? Or is it just Bud? Well, that's a great update, Henry. Thank you so much for sharing that with our audience. Of course, if you missed that, you can listen to Side Stories for the full tale of the Budweiser house. Well, before we get to listener pasta, we do have one more quick news story here.
This takes us
all the way to beautiful, sunny New Jersey.
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I love this story. This is just, I love it when TV becomes real.
Do you really?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
New Jersey therapists asked patient to help her find a hitman and attack her ex. This is incredible. It's the plot from The Sopranos.
It really is.
This comes from 10 Boston News, NBC Boston. A mental health counselor in South Jersey admitted to seeking a hitman to attack her ex-boyfriend, but a federal agent stepped in before any violence was carried out.
I think this is going to greatly impact her ability to help the patient. Obviously, she knows this person has homicidal tendencies. She's trying to flip it and reverse it and use this person as a weapon of her own. Doesn't seem like she's been a very good therapist, though. And she's definitely not been a very good financier of a hitman, because it's never a hitman.
It's never a hitman. We know this.
It's always someone undercover.
We know this. But I will say,
do it. You got to do it yourself.
In regards to therapists,
if you want to do it right, you got to do it yourself.
In regards to therapists, I love them to death. My therapist is great, but therapists a lot of times are also crazy people, just like us.
Yes,
and they have weird whims, and this is one of them. This therapist believed that the patient had ties to organized crime. I wonder why. I don't know. What are you talking about? A guy in a tracksuit showing up every day, hanging up, being like, there's things I talk about, and there's things that are a little too involved for you. Meanwhile, she thinks it's mob stuff, and meanwhile, he's trying to not say he was molested.
Yes, she needs to get to the bottom of why this person acts so angry.
Different ways, the man has shadows, the man has got secrets, and the whole time she's like, I bet you he can kill Greg. Meanwhile, he's just like, sometimes my uncle, he took me behind the shed and he said, we're going to play a game called Find the Apples.
Well, apparently this person wasn't really connected with any sort of crime syndicate. He was just a big dude from Jersey. So the criminal complaint says the patient, after he was solicited to kill this woman's ex, contacted the FBI.
They saw I was having a perfectly relaxing time with my therapist. This is the FBI. Oh, I've never called you before. This is incredible. What a fun time this is.
That's so fun. Thanks for calling.
I just want you to know that my therapist is being a little forward-thinking with her own personal relationships.
I believe that. So the criminal complaint quotes Sylvia, who then met with an agent, a.k.a. air quotes, the hitman. It just doesn't work this
way. They are all having too much fun. This only happened because now the guy gets to play FBI informant, which is almost, I think that the only funner thing than mafia hitman is ex-hitman working with the FBI
reformed
in witness protection, right?
Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I love that storyline. It's so fun to do. So now he gets to be an informant. He's still got the same tracksuit on. You just change colors. Because to me, when I'm mafia hitman, I'm wearing red tracksuit, right? When I shift to informant, I'm wearing blue.
Okay, I can see the difference there. I can see the change in your personality and obviously in your sweatpants. The criminal complaint quotes Sylvia asking the agent not to kill her ex-boyfriend, but just to punch him in the face and break his arm.
Yeah, she wants him to rough him up. You want somebody to send him a message.
But can't you just,
you should actually.
This really, does the FBI need to be called if you're just like, can you punch my ex-boyfriend in the face? Every woman would be arrested.
This is why I'm saying everybody jumped into role-playing. Because what did we learn from McMillions? They also love action.
They're bored.
This is an easy one, right? It's not deciphering the various economic crimes of the president. It's not doing all this other boring shit. It's fucking boots on the ground.
Right.
Super simple. You, as an FBI agent, get to pretend to be a hitman.
That's fun.
His reaction, Sylvia asked him, I was like, the whole thing is just like, okay, I don't want you to kill Greg, but I just want you to just send him a message that I don't need him liking other people. I know we're not even together anymore.
Not even together,
but I'm watching
ma'am.
Him like, other people's pictures on Facebook.
I mean, right? It doesn't seem like the FBI needed to be called. It seems like an MTV producer for, like, X has gone crazy needs to be called. It's more of a reality television show plot than a true crime story, but okay.
But the agent then doubles up, right? Because she says, in her words, he needs his pretty little face bashed in. That's what I really want.
Well, she says,
but then the agent suggested, this is out of pocket, he yes-handed her and said, you know what we can do is we can scar him with battery acid.
Sheesh!
Which is,
you are
what a
jumping
job.
Up! Well, she just, I see, this is the problem with FBI stings. It's the same thing with Richard Reed, the shoe bummer. Yes, he was a bad person who obviously was able to be led down a path that could lead to mass death.
He was radicalized.
But they also, they gave him the shoes. They gave him the little wicks. They gave him the lighter.
They were
they
like
set everything up
to James Bond. They just gave him all of the stuff.
And they then, really did.
And then Sylvia, after saying, oh, how about we scar him with battery acid? She says, how about we break one arm and just mess up his face, but not with acid? Something that makes him, like, not so cute. Something so we can't do push-ups, so we can't work out.
Apparently this guy was a real beefcake, because that's really what got her upset. She wanted to leave him disfigured so he could no longer go to the gym. Told the agent, the ex, quote, ended up with some stuff on me that he was going to report me to the licensing board, which means I have no job. So this was extortion on his part. I think the FBI might need to flip. Go check out what's happening. I think Sylvia might have an actual complaint here. This guy seems to be strong-arming her, which is probably why she needs that arm broken.
She was the one who called the hitman. And so on Halloween, Sylvia met up with the agent and paid him $4,000 for the fake hit. Listen, guys, again, they're never a hitman. But even if they were remotely close to a hitman, you're not looking for anything less than 25 G's. I mean this.
Oh, of course.
25 G's to me is the limit of what you could lowball somebody to kill somebody else.
That's for killing. We're just talking about, with the battery acid, that's a big deal. You break if you break the guy's arm $4,000, he can't do push-ups anymore. That makes a little bit more sense.
My question is, don't you have an overly aggressive brother-in-law? In my mind, every family has one shady brother-in-law that you can call.
Absolutely.
That can go and do this, who's been waiting for this call.
Well, that's his time to shine.
Unleash Roy.
Yeah.
This is the time to get Roy, mean like, Roy, I know you love old cars, and I know you love Joe Rogan. Will you go and beat up my ex?
Use your powers for good,
go
much like Captain
him.
Planet. So she asked, she had a prepaid phone. And this is cute. She didn't know what to do with this prepaid phone. So she was like, what should I do with it?
Oh, what should I do? Oh my God, this is like my fucking mother.
It really is.
Can I go to the Ocean City Bridge and just throw it off? Is that good enough?
Sylvia will be sentenced January 27th, 2021. The maximum penalty she faces, 5 years in prison and $125,000.
And that's
fine.
And I will say, honestly, this is the first off. I will give number one shout out, Matt Servito from The Sopranos. And
sure.
Your pretty face is going to hell. What's going on, Servito? Looking good. This is a shout out to you. This is helping your life go forward. I know your memory, The Sopranos memory, go forward. And I also want to give a shout out to Craig Rowan of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Shout
who
out
created
time.
The Melfi selfie.
The
where
Melfi
he
selfie.
He started the Melfi selfie.
Now, what's the Melfi selfie?
Where he got a selfie with Dr. Melfi from The Sopranos. So, Craig Rowan, thank you again for moving the needle on pop culture.
Okay.
Again and again.
Well, and just before we get to our first listener pasta, just a brief story here talking about New York City. The MTA, this is from September 22nd. 2020,
so
folks.
This is several days ago.
MTA board, they have officially banned pooping in subways and buses. I didn't know it was legal the 15 years that I lived there. I'm upset that I didn't take advantage of this.
Well, because then you would have been like, you would have shat, and then the police officers would have come, and you would be like, here's the book of laws of New York State, sir. And it doesn't say I can't not do it.
Well, you circle where it says it's illegal, officer. Of course, they beat the hell out of you and arrest you anyway.
Yes.
And you have no power at all. Complaints of soiled subway trains surged in 2019. The agency had insisted at the time that the increase in reports of disgusting subway cars was a result of more vigilant riders, not worsening conditions. So they literally have all over the subways in New York, see something, say something.
Yep.
And then people saw something and said something. And they're like, you're just snitching.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm so glad that they jumped on this issue instead of all of the other very intense issues facing the police right now. I'm glad that we finally have some justice in this world.
If you go and you take the subways in New York, all of the...
They just made it cool, is what they did. They just made shitting on the subways cool.
All of the brown artwork, it's all poop.
It's all shit.
And it really is everywhere.
It really is. They put it... They literally mix their shit in with water in a spray bottle. This is real.
That's real.
And they use it to paint because they have all the paint-resistant shit inside of the subways, so they paint with their own shit. And so no one's fighting it. And I'm going to say...
Somebody's probably fighting it.
I'm going to ask you to shit on the subway now. I think you should now. Go after them. Make them work. Make them work.
You know, I don't think that they will be cleaning that up, and I think at some point it's just going to lead to a lot of people who are really upset. And do we need that anymore in 2020? I think people are upset enough, Henry.
You know what? I wish we could do.
If one positive thing can come from this year, no poop. Less poop on the subway.
They've just made it punk. They've just made it punk. They just made it a statement to make. Okay. So unfortunately, they are now asking for more shit, and they're going
to
get it.
Well, let's get to our first listener pasta. Again, thank you all so much for submitting. If you want to submit more listener pastas, this is sort of an impromptu episode this week. You can go to sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We will be doing another listener pasta episode as well.
For Halloween,
for
we're going to do it.
But so yes, of course, you can always submit your stories. And thanks to everyone who submitted their stories for this episode.
All right, y'all, let's get spooky.
That's not spooky. No.
I mix spooky and horny all the time, but do I think a lot of our listeners.
Sporny.
Sporny.
Spooky horny.
I think we do. But I think a lot of our audience is very spooky and horny.
I agree with that.
So this is called Lost Time. When I was about 15 or 16, my best friend's older sister was visiting colleges around the East Coast of the United States. Naturally, my best friend and I tagged along for a spring break road trip from Richmond, Virginia to New Orleans, with a stop in both Tennessee and Alabama along the way. Ooh, they hit all of the barbecue hotspots.
Really exciting.
If you watch the new barbecue competition show on Netflix, you learn that there is many accents in all of America, but there's only one barbecue accent.
I agree with that.
You're going to hit it with the mock. You got to hit it with the mock. You got to get that bark. Now, I'm fuzzy on the exact details, but I'm fairly certain that we pulled off into a rest stop somewhere around Middle Tennessee. I had to pee desperately.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That kind of road trip pee, where the driver asks if you can hold it, and you can't. But you say yes, because it's clear you have no choice.
Well, I mean, you can also pull over. You're in the middle of Tennessee, not exactly a lot of people around. It's not hustling and bustling. Just pull over and take a piss real quick.
Let the beaver go.
All right.
Everyone got out of the car and went in the rest stop to relieve themselves. It was one of those weird rest stops where there were two women's restrooms, one on the left of the building and one on the right. I went into the one on the right with my best friend and ran into a stall. I can vividly remember looking into the handicap stall next to me and seeing wheelchair wheels and being dumbfounded because I'd never actually seen a handicap person in a handicap stall.
Oh.
Which, to be honest, is really funny is that I've also never seen it, but then I sometimes will use the handicap stall just because it's fun to have extra knees.
Yeah.
But I know that if I do end up seeing someone who really needs the handicap stall,
you better finish up quick.
I will abandon it, but what I'll do is I'll crawl out army style and say, somebody took my chair! Somebody took my chair!
Well, that's the only rational way to do that.
Anyway, I look back at the back of the stall door, finish using the bathroom. She's peeing.
Oh.
And I walk out. I left the stall, and I call my friend's name, but heard no response. I look around kind of weirded out because I'd only been in the bathroom for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. I looked under the handicap stall and it was empty, which was also very unsettling because I have no doubt in my mind I would have noticed or at least heard someone in a wheelchair leaving the restroom.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Yeah, you hear the
It was in 1830 or something.
If it's a rascal.
I guess.
In a daze, I washed my hands and walked outside thinking I'd see someone I was traveling with waiting outside.
Mm-hmm.
That was before iPhones. And I'd left my beloved LG NV3 in the car before I went to the rest stop. I walked outside and I didn't see anyone I'd see when I walked in. I mean, no one.
I like that. You know, I think we need to have a no phone in the bathroom policy. You ever see those shows where they swap the phone? More disgusting than the human toilet.
I think we got to get used to our own shit molecules if we want to survive in this world.
Possible.
I walked outside and I didn't see anyone I'd seen when I walked in. I mean, no one. Not the people having their lunch on the picnic table or the couple taking a smoke break next to the vending machines. I'd only been in there for 3 minutes or so. I mean, this is Jersey. This is Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We're all lighting up.
Yeah.
I miss smoking sometimes. I walked past somebody smoking today and I had an urge for the first time in fucking years.
You can still buy a pack.
I know. I was starting to freak, but I walked back to where the car was parked and it wasn't there. I just about puked. I had no phone, no money for a payphone, and I wasn't about to ask a stranger. I sat down on the concrete steps, hoping if they'd somehow forgotten me, they'd realize and turn around soon. And that's when I hear my best friend call my name, and I look to see her running up the path toward me. I was pissed. Had they played some sort of shitty prank and moved the car and hid from me? But the anger soon turned back to panic when I realized my friend was actually extremely concerned. "What the fuck took you so long?" she asked. I didn't know how to respond. I told her I'd been in there for 4 minutes tops and to cut the shit. She just looked back at me unamused and told me they'd been waiting for a minimum of 30 minutes. They had moved the car to a more central location to wait for me so they could see me exit the bathroom. They never saw me exit. I get chills just thinking about it. I know it's not a huge chunk of time lost, but I know I was in the bathroom enough to pee, no more, no less. I cannot account for the 30 minutes my friends say I was gone.
Well, could be a mystery poop situation. And sometimes when you're in the midst of just a wonderful evacuation, a bowel evacuation, you do lose time.
I do.
And maybe she just doesn't want to admit to her friends that indeed it was not a pee, it was in fact a poop.
Sometimes, maybe that's what it is, you're ripping up. But I like spending a long time in the bathroom.
Oh, it's the best.
It's so much time. It's the only time that things are truly or remotely private, especially in quarantine.
You're not allowed to be filmed in there. Get the cameras out. It's the only safe place to be in this country.
Unless you put the camera in there.
And then you get... Well, then
shit,
that's bad.
Shit.
Good Lord, that's very bad. All right! This story comes from Faith Trowell. Faith, thank you so much. It's called The Slink.
You know, you've gotten better at reading, too, in the past, from the past till now.
I haven't read this yet, so. Something is hunting me. That's how it starts. Something is hunting me. All right, so this is The Slink by Faith Trowell. Something is hunting me. I felt its presence since I was a kid. Horror stories were always my first love, so I thought I had made it up to scare myself. And how fun is that? But I couldn't get this out of my mind. It followed me into adulthood. Seems like she has some kind of haunting. Again, this is called The Slink.
I'd
never seen it, even though I knew exactly what it looked like. She never saw The Slink before. The feeling it gave off told me everything I needed to know. It never had a name. But now that I'm writing this, it seems like I should call it something. So here goes. It is The Slink.
Perfect.
I settled on this name because that's the closest thing to the way it feels. Like it was slinking around corners and underneath beds. It moved slowly and silently with purpose.
That's like you.
Yeah. I have a certain image of how it looks in my mind. I hate to even think about it. But maybe it'll help me if I see this all the way through. The Slink has a long, emaciated wolf's body. Ooh, kind of cute. The Slink has one of those police dogs. What are those called again?
What?
The police dogs.
A police dog?
Yeah, the ones that are police dogs.
What do you mean?
What kind of dog is a police dog?
There's many different types. There's German Shepherds.
German Shepherd. The slink is a long, emaciated wolf's body. Its ribs stick out at odd angles and shift as it creeps along, almost touching the ground. Its entire body is covered in mangy black blue fur.
Go take a look at it, make sure it's on Andy Serkis.
Absolutely. It's the color of a fresh bruise. Seems like this is just a dog who needs to be fed. The slink's face is a mockery of a wolf's head. Exposed bone shows between patches of sickly fur. The eyes are hollow sockets, deep and hungry. It has a rabbit's hind legs and long back feet that could propel it forward at a moment's notice, or let it pad along silently as it stalks its prey. I mean, really, it doesn't seem that bad.
It's just a skinny dog.
It really is. But the worst part of the slink are its front legs. Also, why do we call them legs and not arms?
You know, I gotta ask a vet about that. Because you know why? Dogs never wear bracelets.
But the worst part of the slink was its front legs. The joints are all wrong. Where the paws should be, there are human hands with long broken fingernails. All right, it's now Marcus. It's weird. Yes, it's Marcus. There were times when I'd completely forget the slink or convince myself that it was just part of my overactive imagination. It never let me forget for long, though. I can always feel it when it comes back. It had never come close to me or tried to touch me, but that changed last night.
What happened?
Scary.
It got close.
Well,
give it a kiss. Maybe give it a little treat. It won't be so mad.
According to the author here, she says, I woke up in the dark with a full bladder that wouldn't let me...
What?
That's a weird way to say I had to piss. Okay, so I woke up in the dark with a full bladder that wouldn't let me fall back asleep. And that's always a tough battle.
Well, you know, well, you just go pee.
Yeah, but it always takes you a second where you're like, ugh, fine. I can't.
You know what I hate is when I have a dream where I'm pissing, and then all of a sudden I realize I'm about to piss in real life.
Yep, same. I feel the same way when I'm really thirsty, and you're like,
thirsty.
Oh,
and you're about
dream.
To drink a bunch of piss?
No, when I'm thirsty in my dream.
When you're like underneath an open hole, and you're waiting for all the piss to get down inside of your mouth, and then you wake up, and you're like, oh, I can use some apple juice.
So anyway, she woke up, she got a full bladder. Anyway, so she says, my bathroom is just across the hall and I never turn on the lights when I make a trip like this. After I had finished up and was heading back to my room, I felt something brush against my leg. I assumed it was my dog. Okay, she does have a dog. So I slowed my step to let it pass into the bedroom. I wasn't about to get tripped by that little fucker. That's a little rude. That's what she said about her own dog. A realization hit me when I settled back into bed. It couldn't have been my dog. Because I crate him at night.
Oh!
Whoa! I didn't have to wonder what slipped by me. I knew exactly what it was. That's when I heard a soft sound at the foot of the bed, like someone sliding their hands up my comforter. Frozen in fear, I couldn't make myself look away from the hands blacker than the darkness itself, and the ragged ears raising over the bed's edge. Then it lifted its head and I looked into its eyes for the first time. The sockets weren't hollow at all. There was a blue eye shine that reflected back at me from the abyss of its skull.
Cool.
At that point, I guess my brain gave out. Even though I was terrified, I must have fallen back asleep because the next thing I knew, it was late afternoon. I was ready to write the whole thing off as a really vivid nightmare until I saw the dirty handprints all over my covers and the long, greasy smear in between them from the slink dragging its body across the bed. The trail ended near the top of the comforter, right beside my head. Needless to say, I grabbed my dog and I noped the fuck out of there. Now I'm at my parents' house. It's almost dark, but I need to let the other people know what's stalking me. I have no idea what it wants or why it chose me. All I know is I've got that old familiar feeling again. I can see the shadows moving in my peripheral vision. I know I'm not alone, and I never will be. The slink!
This does sound like...
Kind of cute, though. I mean, just cuddle with it.
Truly just sounds like a day-to-day of you and Jerry.
Yeah, me and my little guy.
You wake up and he's like little blue hinted eyes and you're just like, well, Jerry, you better go back to sleep because you're going to wake up your father.
Well, Jerry is waking up all hours of the night. He starts barking out the window. I've got to get him, but you got to cuddle the dog. And then he comes in and he likes to burrow. He likes to burrow.
That's
which
Wendy.
Is kinda nice.
Wendy's a burrower.
I love that.
She's a burrower.
Well, thank you so much, Faith. That was indeed a scary story. And just lean into it.
Lean in.
I think it's the human hands that make it kind of awkward.
Yeah, of course.
But
honestly,
you know,
if you could train it to do stuff around the house, boom.
That would be great. That would be great.
I love somebody else doing dishes right now. Me and Natalie's sick of doing the dishes.
Oh, my God. I don't like to do the dishes.
A different kind of ghost is what this is called.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I lived in a small house in a big city with my younger brother and my mother. The first time this happened to me was around 11 years old. I woke up in the middle of the night, very suddenly, feeling as if something had snapped me awake, almost jarringly. I sat up and looked around the room. My eyes settled on my mother. She was beside my bed, bent over, and picking up some clothes I had left on the floor.
I've seen this video before.
Don't let it get stuck in the dryer.
Okay.
"I'm sorry, Mom," I whispered. "I can grab those in the morning." She seemed to halt in place, then stood up slowly. My stomach turned as I realized something wasn't quite right.
Uh-oh.
I remember an icy chill coming over me, and I felt completely frozen with fear. Once upright, she looked at me for a few seconds before she and the clothes she was holding faded away completely. I stayed stock still for a solid 15 minutes, absolutely terrified and trying to make sense of what just happened. I felt as if I had seen a ghost, but it was very clearly my mother. Finally, I laid back down, covered myself completely with blankets, and laid shaking until I finally fell back asleep much later.
Okay, nice.
Over the next year, this happened a couple more times, always in the middle of the night. The very few people I have spoken to about this said I was dreaming, but I know that this was not the case. In fact, the second time it happened, I had gotten out of bed completely to go to the bathroom when I saw my mother still on the couch.
A lot of bathroom today.
A lot of bathroom. The bathroom's an intimate place.
It is. It is.
I walked toward the living room to talk to her, but she faded away as soon as I entered the room. The third time, she was peering into my room from the doorway. I thought she was just checking on me, but then yet again, she just disappeared.
Oh, my.
I admit, I did doubt myself, thinking I was maybe a little nuts or just freaking myself out, until I found out I wasn't alone. At breakfast one day, my little brother, who was about 8 or 9 at the time, turned to me and said, "Cadwin, why were you going to the back porch last night?"
Oh my goodness, what a little brother that is.
I asked him what he was talking about, having definitely not gone outside in the middle of the night. And no, I have never once sleepwalked, which is something I've been asked by anyone I have shared this with.
Okay.
"Well, I woke up last night, and you were walking through the kitchen to the back door. But the door didn't open, and when I got up, you weren't there anymore."
Oh my goodness, little brother.
"What were you doing there?"
Oh, shut up already.
To say I had goosebumps would be an understatement. Going forward, I asked him to let me know if he saw anything like this again. Lo and behold, both he and I had more experiences in the year to come. He always saw me. I always saw my mom. When I asked my mom about it and if she had ever seen anything like what we had, she looked pretty freaked out, but said no. Whether this was her trying to not scare me by saying yes or just her being freaked out by her weird kid, I'm not certain. But she does maintain that she didn't have any of these experiences to this day. Now, as I got older, the experiences stopped. They became a strange memory over the years. Eventually, I became a mother myself, adopting a beautiful 3-year-old girl and moving into a house of our own. One night when she was 6, I woke up to her screaming for me. I raced into her room.
How do babies scream?
Oh, mommy!
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 Yes.
My diaper needs some attention.
It's not easy to be a mother.
I raced into her room and found her sitting up in bed with teary eyes. "Mama, where did you go? You were just in here, but you didn't say anything, and then you were gone." To say I had goosebumps once again would be a fucking understatement. And that's how it ends.
Whoa! All right. Very cool. Thank you for that creepy tale of motherhood. This is why no matter if they're used or not, get those condoms and wear them.
Yeah, because old kids do see ghosts.
Yes, they really do.
All day long as they see ghosts and they invite people into your home.
Yes, they really do see ghosts. I used to see ghosts all the time.
Is that true?
I had some experiences growing up.
You have never once told us this ever before.
Yes, I used to see many a ghost. Yes, indeed.
Interesting, because now your eyes are so thick with hate that you never see a ghost.
I know. I love ghosts.
And you refuse to believe, though. You don't like it.
I believe in ghosts.
Sure. Do you fully believe in ghosts?
There is honestly, there's something in my new house. It's a rental, so don't be like, but it's a rental.
Don't watch the new movie, The Rental. It sucks.
Oh, is that right? But yes, as a child, I do think, obviously, you're more susceptible as a kid.
I think so.
To seeing the paranormal and things like that. But there is a knock on the door that I cannot explain.
That is kind of freaky. But I will say my house.
And I heard it when I was right by the door. It was like, doosh. And then, but like, I opened the door. No one was there. It's happened multiple times.
You opened the door?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what would you do? Somebody you knocked on the door.
You let it in. That's what you just said.
It's not a freaking carpet salesman.
No, but that's the problem is that most demons need your permission to enter into your abode.
I just opened the door.
I didn't throw it in.
Freaking carpet.
You invited
it in. It's not
Richard
Chase.
You need a ring light or something. You look out the window if you see that kind of shit, because now what you just did is that you invited a vampire into your house.
Well, get to cleaning, please. God knows.
I mean, there could be some ants in there.
There could be. You don't think it's clean enough?
Honest, your house is from your last house.
It's better.
Yes.
It is better. All right. This story is called The S-Man, and it's by S.
I wonder what this is about.
I don't know what it could be. When I was younger, I was like most kids. I had hopes and dreams and, of course, nightmares. So it goes without saying that my parents dismissed my complaints about the tall man in the shadows. It's always the tall man, by the way. But again, short men are the cause of most of our problems.
Always be scared of the tall, tall man.
It just started one night. I woke up. This person woke up when it was dark out and all the lights in the house were off. It was only for a split second that I thought someone was in the room. So I went back to sleep, unsure if this was my own choice or something making me do so. So something's making him go to sleep. I honestly love that.
Jackie smokes a bowl and she eats her edibles and then she takes like two melatonins and something else to get people go to sleep. Melatonin makes me all jacked up.
I don't take it. I heard it's really good for
your
mood.
You know what's really great for sleep? Bourbon. You go right to sleep.
It wasn't until I don't know if this person's old enough to drink bourbon, so.
Anybody's old enough.
Well, it wasn't until a few nights later that I realized why I awoke. It happened again. But this time I was more awake. Yes, I still felt like someone was watching me. But it was an odor that woke me. A stinging, almost vinegary smell in my nostrils. That smells like urine. It resided. And I drifted back to sleep only a few moments later. As I did, though, I swear I saw movement in the corner of my room. That's very scary.
Yes.
The third night is when I actually saw him. Same pattern, waking up, stinging smell, and there he was, standing in the corner, a tall, seemingly made of shadows. He wore a wide-brimmed hat, and his head was tilted.
Almost like a gondolier.
Yeah, wide-brimmed hat, and his head was tilted, covering the top half of his head. All I could make out was a wide, crooked smile with even crookeder teeth. More crooked teeth.
Woo! He's very scared of the teeth.
He raised a finger to his lips and shushed me with a long, drawn-out sound. I don't know when or how I got to sleep that night, but the next morning when I woke up, the smell was still there, lingering in my room, my clothes, and even on my breath. But when I complained about it, no one, including my friends and parents, said they smelled anything. But it was there. My dad kept laughing that the smell was me being afraid of my own farts. Funny dad. I didn't find it funny. And no matter how many times I told her, my mom said there was no man. The shadow was just that, a shadow. The smell lasted a few weeks. It was no longer just vinegary, but now it was fishy as well. I smelled it every waking hour, all the while I was sleeping through every night uninterrupted. That is, until last night.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
I woke again to find myself in a room at night, only this time I wasn't looking at a man in the corner. I was in the corner of my room and I was looking at myself
in bed. You just got fucking Blair Witch, dude!
A look of horror on my face looked back at me as if controlled by some other force. I brought my finger up to my lips and I shushed myself in bed. Back to sleep.
Go to sleep.
Go to sleep. Go to sleep! I don't know what happened to my body. Was it dead? Did it still live with another conscious version of me living life? Or was it now inhabited by something more sinister? Personally, I think the latter to be the worst of the three. I now reside where all the children go when he has chosen them. I am the tall figure watching others at night while they sleep. I am the foul odor left behind once the sun rises. I am the Skungeely Man.
He comes back.
Whoa! He's the Skungeely Man! I didn't realize this. So this Skungeely Man, it overtakes people's bodies.
Stop saying the name.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean, I like that people are adding to the lore, but I will say, there are times, in my heart of hearts, I'm not scared of the S-Man. I'm not actually scared of him, because I know that the thing that I made up,
sure.
In a way. I guess. But then all of a sudden, there are times, and I mean genuinely, late at night,
yeah,
where I sit there mm-hmm. because I have to brush my teeth in the different bathroom. Boring house stuff.
Yeah. What, Natalie just doesn't want to see you do any hygienic things?
No, absolutely not. We're shifting shit in the house.
Kind of going into the divorce phase.
No. She still loves me. She still needs my body.
Okay.
I sometimes get scared.
Hey, man.
Just sitting alone, just being like, am I making the Skungeely Man? Am I making him real?
Sometimes, Puffin, my boy Puff, my man, sometimes he will look in the corner, nothing will be there.
I hate it.
And he will just do little barks, but Puffin never barks unless you try to pick him up, and then he's just like, I will kill you. But it is really kind of freaky. I admit it. Like, it is kind of scary when you're alone, especially if you do happen to watch a scary movie, which, as I get older, I have a more hard time doing alone now. I get scared.
I like to be scared.
I got scared.
You know, I was thinking about last night, because Wendy does the same shit, and I was just like, in my head, just imagining a scenario where we are constantly just about to be murdered by a fucking, like, Mike Myers style, like,
yeah,
heaving psychopath, like, outside of her home, but that psychopath just happens to be incredibly scared of small dogs.
Oh.
And so every time he arrives to fucking give his eternal punishment, you just see his Wendy go like, meow, 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 and he just fades in the background.
I believe it, man. Small dogs, they're the best security dogs in the history of dogs.
Well, they are loud.
That's
but
perfect.
Nothing would also make me sadder than having Wendy just having her spine crushed by someone trying to kill our family.
Oh, that would be sad.
Hey, Kissel. Vote right now. Do you want to go gross or do you want to go ghost?
Gross or ghost? Oh, my God. Oh, man. That's actually really tough. Okay.
Gross or ghost?
I'm trying to channel the audience. We've done some ghost. Let's go gross.
Okay, let me try this story. Y'all, let us read this.
Man, that's a great game. Gross or ghost?
Maybe we'll play that for listener pastas when we do officially for Halloween. My father and uncle were raised in Cartersville, Georgia. Their backyard is connected to a 54-acre plot of land, separated only by a short barbed wire fence. On the other side lies the untouched burial remains of the Etowah Indian Mounds.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
I don't know. I hope you are.
But I'm doing my barbecue accent.
Oh, I love that barbecue.
Gonna make sure I get that brisket. Needs to have a flop to it. And I want the rib to be bitten off easily, but I don't want it sliding off the bone.
You know, as I've mentioned on the show previously, I'm trying not to eat pork, but I'm also realizing barbecue is mostly pork.
can't let go of barbecue. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I don't give a shit. I have a whole bunch of baby back ribs sitting in my freezer, and I'm waiting. I can't. I'm going to fucking unleash them very soon. I've been thinking about barbecue all week. I need to get a smoker.
Okay.
But I'm the only one who eats smoked meats in the house, so I'm going to get this smoker. Yeah. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a whole rack of ribs just for myself, and then all of a sudden, I'm just, then that's how I die of John Candy's death.
Oh, 43 year young.
Fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
My uncle still lives there, and a few times a year, we would come up to visit my father's childhood home. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, my cousins and I started building up the courage to venture over the barbed wire and explore the eerie field. We would pretend we were ancient hunters, chasing the groups of cattle that meander the property. The air was always stale, and each time we got too close to the tree line, the unnerving feeling of being watched made the hair on my neck stand on end.
Cool.
It wasn't coming from the slow grazing cows, but seemed to lurk somewhere just beyond the herd. One night, we were heading in for dinner. I felt the same primitive static of being stalked by an unknown observer. Before jumping over the fence, I turned back and caught a glimpse of it. Dark, healer eyes illuminating a four-legged shaggy frame. It hugged the tree line before darting back behind one of the burial mounds. Later that night, I asked my uncle if he and my father had ever noticed a shaggy dog lumbering around the property.
Oh, a shaggy dog.
The story he told me haunted me for years to come.
"You stay away from the big ones," he said. "They have room inside."
What?
Room inside for what?
For what?
I asked, terrified that he actually knew what I was talking about.
Oh, my.
He leaned in and explained.
"When your dad and I were kids, we saw a dog that at first seemed to avoid us. But day by day, it would allow us to get closer and closer. Finally, we managed to get within arm's distance of it. Its eyes were warm, but it kept raising and lowering its head, almost nodding, inviting us to come closer.
Oh.
And as I stepped forward, I could hear low guttural sound coming from inside. A mix between a thick cough and a painful moan. I think it's her."
Sounds like a...
Sounds like me like having sex.
Yeah, redneck orgasm there.
I said, looking back at your dad, who said already had taken a few steps back. That's when I noticed it. A long seam ran crookedly from the dog's jaw to the underside of his belly. Before I could turn back to show your dad, I was paralyzed by what I saw next.
Whoa.
A fleshy tag at the top of the seam began moving, separating skin from skin.
Ooh.
As the stitches broke apart, the sound of ripping flesh continued until it reached its stomach. From inside the shaggy limp shell, a pair of arms, followed by a torso and the head, appeared.
What?
It was Ace Ventura.
Whoa!
No, it was an old man. His body was decrepit and bare. The loose hanging skin covering his weathered frame resembled a puddle of wrinkles.
A puddle of wrinkles.
It's fucking the old man version. That's a great way to say that. Puddle of mud. You remember that?
Of course. Great band, yeah.
In an instant, his gangly arms reached up and grabbed the front of my shirt. Dragging me closer, he clasped his bony hands around my waist and pulled me into the dark, open cavity, pressing me into his papery flesh. I could smell the stench of rotten meat. Screaming. I looked through the open carcass to call out to my brother, but he was nowhere in sight. Unable to move, I watched as the fleshy zipper began jiggedly sliding back into place, sealing me inside its rotten frame.
Oh, my.
And the last thing I felt was hot breath. It's rolling down my neck.
It's a long explanation to this kid.
Coming from the creature. Pressed behind me. At 9 years old, this story absolutely shook me to my core.
enough to where I didn't even want to ask my uncle how he got in, out of the dog's body, honestly. You should have.
Yeah, you definitely want to know that.
I know if I asked too many questions, it would somehow make the story real. Needless to say, I always avoided large dogs. And my cousins, I refused to cross back over the fence until we were much older.
Oh, yep. Well, I mean, it's a great way to protect your property. Have a demonic dog that swallows people whole. Unzips them, live inside of a dog. Isn't that kind of what we do with our leather jackets? Isn't that kind of what we do anyway, right? We kind of live inside of the animal skin in some ways.
If you want to, yeah, this is like how PETA like pitches it.
PETA just gives money to people to go topless.
I would love that they actually did that.
Whoever in charge of PETA just wants to see boobies, and they found a really weird way to do it.
They're a weirdly very metal organization because they're both terrorists, but also with tits out.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'll see more of that.
And of course, we love animals. ASPCA is where it's at.
I also feel it is ASPCA. True. Do you notice that there's a lot of haunted dog stories that have come out? And I think it's got to do with quarantine, and we're literally spending so much time with our dogs.
I think the dogs have realized that they like to be alone.
Oh, they now we leave Wendy alone a little bit because then she stops being so frenetic. We find that she does less phantom barking if she actually has a couple hours where we're not around.
Yep. Every time you come home, everyone's like, oh, the dog is super happy. Wow, happy to see you. I feel so bad for leaving. They actually like to be alone.
A little bit, maybe.
They do. And this is why, this is just Ben Kissel Off the Cuff, which is a new show that we're doing here.
I don't want to do it because that has to be on Compound Media. Anything that's like Unchained or like unclickable, it's got to be.
Oh, I go there.
What?
When it comes to dog cameras, they're bad for you. Bad for the dog.
They don't know they're on camera.
Yes,
though.
They do, because there's treats. They have these treat things, right? Where you'll be like, hey, Puffin, come here. And it's just the video screen.
That's weird.
And then Puffin can demand a treat. So he hits a little thing and then he gets a treat. But it really tricks the dog because they can't separate the reality. That's why when dogs watch TV, they think it's a window. And they think they're watching outside of a window.
But I leave the TV on for Wendy when we leave.
Only on Animal Planet or Food Network.
I put HGTV.
HGTV.
Mainly just because it'd be nice if you show up and Wendy's done something around the house.
Unless it's demo day.
She wouldn't even help with that. She can't lift a hammer.
Well, nonetheless, so just let your dog be and don't bother them because it confuses them and then they don't know what's real and what's not real. Okay, the final creepypasta.
Guys, this is good.
Henry is in my heart.
I'm glad you're reading this.
This is by Jessica and Tyler. Thank you so much, Jessica and Tyler, and I wish that you guys have the greatest friendship or love or
they
whatever
might be
it
fucking.
Is. They could be.
Maybe this was the
maybe they're
attempt.
Just writing together.
But I do think like this is such a good way to slide into the DMs of somebody. Yeah. This is good. This is a tip for listener process. And you say like to the person you've been kind of like thinking's on
don't
fleek
have an alternative
this week.
Motive though. Just if they say just do the writing. If something clicks, it clicks.
But sometimes what's nice is yes, you shouldn't lie and say we should write together and you're trying to make that be like a subtweet of we should be having sex with each other.
No, that's what UCB is for.
Yeah, that's what that's for. That's what's called teaching improv. It's because you raise your girlfriend again.
Okay. Henry is in my heart by Jessica and Tyler. Henry is in my heart. I woke up that morning to the dull sounds of dishes clinking and water sloshing. Oh. My boyfriend Tyler works nights, so he was awake when I made my way into the kitchen. He was standing in the sink washing the dishes from the night before. I came up behind him to give him a big morning hug. This is cute. He's washing the dishes. And she's like, thank you.
There's nothing. Honestly, it is really nice when you're washing the dishes to get a titty hug.
Sure. He turned around and embraced me. My ear is the exact height of his heart. Isn't that interesting?
No.
My ear is the exact height of his heart. So there's a size difference. There's a height difference.
Yeah, it does
happen.
When
I pressed my ear against his chest that morning, I was met with the voice of Henry Zabrowski screaming hysterical nonsense. Startled, I looked at his shirt to also see Henry's face. Tyler was wearing his last podcast t-shirt. I looked up to him and smiled. Oh, Henry, I said. He looked down deep into my eyes. Henry is in my heart, he replied, smiling back.
Yep.
And then I realized one side of his headphones was down inside his shirt, mm-hmm. matching up to my ear in his heart perfectly. We shared a good laugh. Morning dishes. I left
cling,
him to
cling, 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 cling. Smush, smush, smush. That's the sound of titties hitting back.
No kidding. I left him to finish the dishes. That's good. Make sure he finishes those dishes.
Yeah, get that man of work.
Get that man of work.
Yeah, yeah, that should be the men's OnlyFans where it's just men doing chores.
You go there.
Yep.
I left him to do the dishes. I went to the bathroom. Again, another bathroom situation.
The bathrooms are... This is quarantine. We all got three rooms.
Yeah, that's true. I went to the bathroom to brush my teeth and get ready for the day. After a few minutes, I realized I could hear Henry's voice again.
Yeah.
In the other room, screaming with hysteria.
Sometimes
maybe he was laughing at something Ben said. He was laughing at something Ben said that was so funny.
That's nice, that, honestly. Did she actually write that?
No,
or?
She did not.
Yep. I know, so, we know. But this is... I'm just glad you're reading the story.
I'm reading it. I smiled to myself. I finished in the bathroom and went back to the kitchen.
What'd she finish doing?
She just finished doing whatever. She was brushing her teeth, I guess.
I wonder if it was a big old shit.
I finished in the bathroom and went back to the kitchen. Tyler was unconscious on the floor. He was shuddering.
The only way I like a man. Hell yeah. Compound media.
I got closer and the voice of Henry screaming got louder. I saw a ripple go through Tyler's chest. I leaned in further. The screaming was becoming unbearable. It was then it happened.
Through it was my wife?
It was then that it happened through a shower of blood. A tiny version of Henry. Burst through his chest. The tiny Henry was almost a foot tall and growing before my very eyes.
Gasp
I watched
me.
Transfixed with horror.
Gasp me in your sitcom.
He was still screaming as he crawled his way out of the hole in Tyler's chest.
Let me see your boobies.
The tiny Henry continued screaming and hopped to the floor. He was about 2 feet tall now. And no longer seemed to be growing.
No.
He shook some of the viscera out of his hair like a dog.
Look at all this viscera.
More blood spattered on my face. I took a step back. He stopped screaming.
Greedoon.
I froze. He looked up right into my eyes. I've been trapped in the hearts of men for eternity. This is you talking, by the way.
Should I read this?
I can do it.
Are you going to do an impression of me?
I've been trapped in the hearts of men for eternity, but now I've been set free.
Hold on a second. Save this for your SNL tape.
I needed to be in the heart of a true fan. I can finally take over the world, one laughing man at a time.
With that, the tiny Henry started screaming again and leapt into the air directly at my face. Everything went black. I woke up to find myself strapped to a bed. They were telling me to cut out Tyler's heart, but I know the truth. I know that tiny Henry is out there waiting in the shadows. He just wants to make you laugh. He just wants your heart.
That's it.
Wow.
I mean, and this is completely true. All I ask
scary.
For all I want is your undying of devotion. I want total control over you.
Wow, no, that's not good.
No, all I really want you to do is, again, lastpodcastmerch.com.
Ooh.
You can go and check out all our wares and Last Podcast merch. You also, you know what I really want you to do? I want you to get out there today.
Yeah.
Make a difference.
Make a difference for the positive.
It.
That's good.
I said it.
That's very good. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for submitting listener pastas for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be back to your regular scheduled programming.
We got a UFO tale next Ooh. Week that I've been wanting to tell for a long time. And then
UFO docs are also starting to scare me more.
Maybe
I'm just getting sensitive in my 39-year young phase.
Well, alien episodes, I mean, I do get the most, the research I'm doing for this, every single time I do research for a UFO episode, I end up getting a lot of nightmares.
You know what also it is? There's a sky here in California.
Yes.
New York, there's no sky. There is, but you don't see it because it's just buildings and then there's so much light pollution. I haven't seen a star. I've seen more stars this past 3 months than I have in the last 15 years combined.
And that's just because you've been spending time in Beverly Hills.
Whoa!
Come on, guys.
Hello, Brad Pitt.
Los Angeles.
I'm just screaming at people, Brad Pitt, randomly, and I haven't been recognized yet.
Not once,
but that's okay.
This is, we're going to begin spooky season.
Yes.
We're going to get so spooky, you might commit suicide.
Well, don't do that.
I don't want you to.
Don't do that. We're almost through 2020.
I don't want to even talk
about
it.
2021 sucks. The second half is going to be fun. And then don't forget 2022. That is no close. That's no close 2022.
2022, I better not see a stitch of underwear on a person.
No close 2022.
2022 needs to be the daisy chain year. I want
to
see...
I'm starting losing weight now to get ready for it.
I want to see three guys walking down the street, dick in butt, walking in like tandem.
The shitty Beatles.
This is what I want to see in 2022. I want to see women 69ing, walking down the street.
Down the street.
I don't give a fuck. I am sick of my living room.
There you go. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're hanging in there.
Guys,
the best
and again,
you can.
Seriously, you are very kind to us as
you
a fan.
You are very kind to
and
us.
And I want to say, again, thank you so much for the outpouring of love that we got for Marcus. I also want to say this. We are headed into even more, quote-unquote, hashtag uncertain times. But I want to say, no matter what the fuck happens... We're going to keep going.
We're
going to
keep going. And
we're
going
to do this show. We'll do this show from a bunker if we have to.
I have to think first, Spotify has been very nice, not to be all like weird, but our commercial was all over the place.
It's very,
so
very
that was
cool.
Super sweet. So thanks to everyone who reached out.
We've never
out.
Had anybody advertise for us, including us.
No. And we still are not sure if our name is on the commercial or it's just three big, white, weird looking dudes.
It was Ariana Grande. And then it's three white men that look like the new version of Yola Tango. and the worst, less cool version of Yola Tango.
And then, of course, I'm not an openly music person. I don't like to talk about the music that I listen to.
Well, because the music that we listen to, we are both like, we have two modes. We have like party mode where I listen to music
and then like not.
But my real mode, which is what I'm used to doing, you know, like sitting alone in a hotel room looking out the window.
Yeah.
You got a glass of whiskey and you're just sitting thinking about all the other road dogs that came before
road
you.
Road dog. Yeah, yep. Of course. So Spotify does that thing like listen alike. And some people don't listen like me, but
they
then
don't.
I've also noticed that a lot of people do.
Some people are also alcoholics like us. They are the same breed of alcoholic
because
I slide into old country alcohol mode, which I love.
Oh, it's the best. If you get that sweet spot just before you get really sad and then you got to go to bed.
Yep.
Then you got to go.
That's the goal.
That's it.
A big thing that's coming up for spooky season is that every Saturday, 6 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. EST on twitch.tv/lastpodcastnetwork. All of your favorite hosts.
All of your favorites.
From the LPN network are going to be live streaming old school horror movies, and we're going to be watching them together as like an old fashioned hangout.
That's good. I'm happy you clarified from the last podcast network, because they'll be like, is Dion Imus going to be on
it? I wish they...
Are you Imus?
Who knows who they're looking for? There's a lot of other hosts out there, but these specific hosts are the ones that you're getting. Each week, we're going to be doing it for a different charity. We're going to announce the hosts and the charities at the beginning of the week. We're going to be giving money out, just sharing time during the Halloween season, because we are all desperate for entertainment.
Absolutely, and I'm happy to watch some scary movies with you, because then I won't get so scared, and you can watch it with me, and you can watch it with Jerry, and maybe even Puffin will jump up on my lap, although he has never done that, and he probably won't. All right, everyone, hail yourselves!
Hail Satan!
Magoostalations!
No.
All right.
Yeah, just do it, huh?
Spooky season, it's here.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It is scarier than usual.
It is.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.